Okay. Right, perhaps we should read one or two verses to remind us of the importance of God's word. Last time we started, and we'll do it again, is turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, which reminds us of the importance of reading publicly the scripture. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 13 says, Paul writing to Timothy says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." And then over a couple of pages into 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, well-known verse, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And then in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, we read these words, verse 23. "Being born again," says Peter, "not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, that is, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And then finally, back a page to James chapter 1 and verse 18. James writes, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth," so we're born again by the word of truth, "that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that it's an inspiring word, it's an instructing word, it's a reproving word, it's a correcting word, and it's a profiting word. That is the scripture. That's why we should give attendance to reading. In Peter, it's a begetting word. We're born again by the word of God, as we read in James also. It's an enduring word, and it's a word of good news. James also tells us that it's a truthful word. It's the word of truth. So we come to a very special book, which has stood for the test of time, and we've proved it to be our strength and stay. So let's pray together, and then we'll have a review of Daniel 1 to 3 and read chapters 4 to 6. So let's pray. O Lord, we thank you again for your goodness to us. For all your many mercies, O Lord, we give you thanks. And pray, Lord, that you would help us to be, Lord, aware of your hand of goodness over us, your hand of protection, your hand of provision, your hand of help. Lord, your mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you that you are for your people. If God is for us, who can be against us? And so, Lord, we're glad to be able to come to you because we know that you are for us. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say that we know you and we trust in you and we believe you, as we were reminded, Lord, this morning. And so, Lord, we pray that as we read your word, as not just this afternoon, but at any time we read your word, Lord, that you will speak to us from it. There may be just a single word, there may be a phrase, there may be a verse, there may be a chapter. Whatever part of your word, Lord, that you want to impress upon us, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to receive that word into our hearts and minds. And so, Lord, it may profit us, it may correct us, it may train us in righteousness. Lord, it may be our comfort, it may be our strength. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for Lord, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Word that came down from heaven, the incarnate Word. Lord, we thank you for him and all that he has done for us, all that he means to us. Lord, we pray, therefore, that you will grant us your blessing this afternoon. For those who can't be here, Lord, we commit them to you and pray, Lord, your hand of blessing upon them too. Maybe they're reading these chapters alone, privately. Lord, we pray that there may be a blessing for them and for us. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, just a quick review of chapters 1 to 3. So in chapter 1, we have the might of Babylon, a very powerful empire, and we know they took Judah into captivity, compared to the slight of Daniel. Daniel was only a teenager, I think, when he was taken into captivity with his friends, and he was just a young man, and not expecting anything great to happen to him, but it did, as we know and as we shall find out. The food that he refused, the wisdom that was given to him, and then in chapter 2, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the threat that was made to the wise men if they didn't interpret the dream, which of course included Daniel. He was threatened with losing his life if Nebuchadnezzar didn't hear the right interpretation. So there was a bit of a challenge, you could say, for Daniel when he was confronted with the situation. But under God's good hand, he was able to give the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar. And that brought about a tremendous change in Nebuchadnezzar, verse 46 of Daniel 2. A tremendous change. And then in chapter 3, we read about the image and the command that Nebuchadnezzar gave to fall down, for everyone to fall down and worship the image. We know that Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't do that. And so they were cast into the burning, fiery furnace. Verse 17 of chapter 3. And you know what happened when Nebuchadnezzar came to look and see what was going on. He saw a fourth person in the fire, one like unto the Son of Man. And this, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, that again was a big challenge to Nebuchadnezzar, and he changed his mind again. We read at the end of chapter 3. And it led to the advancement of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So there's a very brief summary, chapters 1 to 3. There's so much more that could be said, of course, but we'll content ourselves with that for the moment. So now we launch out into chapters 4 to 6 of Daniel, where we read, chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations and languages that dwell upon the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, and they did not make known to me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height of it was very great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven. Does that remind you of another Babylon back in Genesis? The tree reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. And the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in its boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, or a messenger, an angel, an holy one, came down from heaven. And he cried aloud, and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter his fruit, and let beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's heart, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream nor the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King. That they shall drive thee from all men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, all his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So read chapter 4 of Daniel. Chapter 5 reads like this. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, as he tasted wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, and they praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass and iron and wood and stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against the other. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoso shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of the dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said to Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jeri? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. And when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of the house before thee, thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass and iron and wood and stone, which do not see, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand is thy breath is, and who are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art found in the balances, and art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. So read chapter five, and then finally chapter six for now. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which would be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was found in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And the stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, I just lost my place now. verse 21. And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My king has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery over them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, languages that dwelt in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So ends chapter 6. I don't know how you could compare the first three chapters with the next three chapters. It's not a very profitable thing to do, but the whole thing is absolutely amazing. And some very relevant points, I think, come out of those chapters. I don't know whether anything appealed to anyone particularly from reading those verses, from any of the chapters. There are one or two phrases that are repeated, of course, as well as the whole scene, which has been recorded. I I suppose the main, one of the main things that comes out is that these kings were made to realize that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. That's difficult to see sometimes, and we have to wait for the final result, but sure enough, it will come.